Dan Celia.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. It's great to be here. Some of you just joining us, by the way, markets, I got all messed up here. Okay. all I wanted to do was get up and get a glass of water. All right. Markets are positive. There you go. That's good news. We'll see where it goes. We got a long way to go. I would love to see this week finish in positive territory because I'll tell you something. If we get positive this week by the end of the week, I think it's going to say a lot for not revisiting the lows of last year, which makes a very strong case for me when I was telling all of you to please don't get out. Remember that? Where I was saying, please don't get out. Make sure you stay in. Keep things, keep things the way they are, all those kinds of things. And I was talking about that on a regular basis. Well, it makes a great case for that. So I'm hoping that we don't revisit those. And we are so far away from them, from the Christmas Eve lows. I don't think we're going to see that again. I really don't. So, but sure would be nice to continue to see this bump up. Look, I think next year is going to be a very, very difficult year. I'm concerned about that. I've got some thoughts about that. And you need to join me on the conference call. So I have a partner conference call today in a couple of hours. So 1 o'clock my time, Eastern time, 1 o'clock Eastern time, 12 o'clock Central time. You can join us for the conference call. If you're a partner, you've got the new code and all that stuff. So you can get on the conference call. Make sure you go to the partner side of the website tonight to listen. Listen, I want to mention to you something that struck me this morning. Yesterday, I don't remember her name. I don't remember where she was from. I just don't remember. But she was a fairly new partner. And you may remember if you heard the call yesterday, but I'll give you a quick rundown. She called and she said, you know, Dan, I spent the weekend watching every one of your videos, looking around the website, watching some of them over again, trying to get a better understanding of all that you're doing. I'm going to buy when it's on the buy list. I'm going to sell when it's on the sell list. She didn't say this, but I got the impression she was saying, I'm new at this, so I don't know enough to not follow your strategy, and she's just going to stick with it and follow it. And I was thinking about that this morning, and I wanted to bring it up as an example. If we were to have a contest, which we're not going to do, I'm just giving an example. If we were to have a contest of somebody like that against someone that considers themselves a pretty experienced follower of Financial Issues and goes, you know, kind of walks away from camp every once in a while and does their own thing, I guarantee you this person would outperform in a 10 to 12 year period than anybody that's not doing what she espoused upon that she was going to do. And I got thinking about it this morning because I was wondering, I was indicating, you know, those financial REITs that I took off the broad list. I wrote on the commentary why. I talked about it on the air and conference. I'm going to send an alert out about those because I still get all the questions because people don't understand. They don't listen. They don't pay attention. Whatever it is, I don't know. But then I'm thinking, well, I sent an alert out on the conference call. How many people opened it? How many people opened it? Now, so you have to understand that we have thousands and thousands and thousands of partners. So when I think about what is going on, when I think about what is happening. I am speaking when I give even my conference call today that I'm going to do. I'm speaking to partners because I believe, and I may be wrong about this. I don't think I am. I believe the vast majority of those thousands and thousands are following the system. They're buying if it's on the buy list. If it's on the buy list and they want to buy more, they'll buy more. If it's not on the buy list, they want to buy more, maybe they won't. Maybe they can dollar cost average if they want, but they don't have to. But they don't ask if they should sell something that's on my buy list. It wouldn't be on my buy list if I thought you ought to sell it. I mean, you know, those kinds of things. But these are people, I always know the partners that are fully engaged. But better yet, I will know the partners that are fully engaged by their fruit 10, 12 years from now. I'm telling you. And, you know, I got to tell you, I was thinking when I started this ministry many, many years ago, and I've been on the radio 22 years this month. It's our anniversary, 22 years. I don't remember the date. I missed that, but I know it was in February when we started on the radio 22 years ago. I don't remember it because it was a non-event for me. I hated it when I started it, and I hated it for a year, thought it was the dumbest thing anybody could ever do. And as I was telling him I didn't want to do it anymore, here I am. I said, yeah, all right, I'll pray about it. And here we are 22 years later on 550 radio stations in every state. And today on my conference call, I will have probably somewhere between 5 and 10 people on that call from other countries. So, you know, I'll have probably 43 states covered and people on that call from somewhere between 5 is usually our low, but 9 to 10 is our high of different countries around the globe. I don't know if they're missionaries visiting. I don't know if they're partners. I know I have partners in Taiwan and Singapore and the UK and Canada, Puerto Rico. We have a number of really good, solid partners that we've had for years. So all over the country, people are hearing the program and following the system. And I just pray that God blesses each and every one of them. As you pray, I hope that he would bless us in the ministry here. All we're trying to do is be in his obedience. That's all we're trying to do. And, you know, I can tell you, as I've shown you from reports of the fundraiser we've done, 22 years I've been on the radio, twice I've asked for money, twice. Why? Because God can, because we've had a special need, and I've asked, but God continues to raise up opportunity for this ministry. It's got to be because we're in his obedience. I'm hoping that's what it is. And the fear of the Lord in me keeps me on his path, not my path. And I pray every day that I would stay on his path. That's what we need to do. And we need to be honoring him. Here's our ag report. We'll be right back after that.
This is Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Well, if the markets closed yesterday for President's Day, there's limited news to talk about this morning. As I record this, the corn and soybean futures are both trading unchanged as we have non-threatening South American weather and more trade talks scheduled with China this week. A private analyst for South America sees both corn and soybean production unchanged in Brazil and Argentina from last week's levels. Soybean harvest continues to move forward in Brazil, with 36% of the crop now harvested versus 17% this time a year ago, and a five-year average of 19% harvested by this date. In the overnight trade, wheat is lower in all three exchanges. The U.S. is just not quite competitive in the export market at the present time, and weather conditions around the world are decent. The wheat crop in France is rated as 88% good to excellent, while in Russia they are set to receive replenishing snow cover over the next couple of weeks, which will limit fears of winter kill in that nation. In livestock news, the January USDA cattle on feed report, which was delayed by the government shutdown, will finally be released on February 22nd. We don't have
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Hey, welcome back. It's great to be here. You know, I said to everyone earlier, and you just heard a spot about a book called Decoding the Antichrist and the End Times. And I was expressing earlier that I read the book, and it's a great book, DecodingTheAntichrist.com. You have to get it. You can go to Amazon or other places, I'm sure. But make sure that you get this book. Why? Because we need to understand what we are looking for. We need to understand. We need to have a picture of that in our minds. And I hope you'll do that. And Pastor Mark Belts is with us. And Pastor, thank you for being with the program.
And, well, thank you so much, Dan.
And thank you for writing this book. What some great insights that you pull from God's word about the Antichrist. Tell us what motivated you to write about this.
Well, I have been studying Solomon's behavior for almost 30 to 40 years, and everything I'd heard was talking about how he was so wise and such a great guy. But I realized, man, this is why the world is going to be deceived. The church is going to be deceived because his behavior was horrible.
Mm. You know, and our behavior is so important. Those listening understand that I spend my time in my analytics on behavior, and if we understand behavior, we're able to recognize certain things, aren't we?
No, you bet. That's yeah, for sure.
And it's so key that we can do that, that we can recognize who this person is or going to be. If we're still here, hopefully we're gone tonight would be good. But it'll be interesting. But I'm sure that's got to play such a key role is to understand what the enemy looks like.
Definitely. And the way I see it, it's a system of legalized lawlessness. Look where we're at today with governments legalizing all kinds of lawlessness.
Yeah, what a great, great point. And legalizing, you know, this notion that if it's legal, then surely it must be moral.
Like the New York abortion law that they just passed.
Yeah. You know, I used to tell my children growing up that the will of the majority is not necessarily the will of God. You know, the kids would say, well, everybody's going, everybody's doing it, you know, and they hated it when I said that, but it's so true, isn't it? I mean,
yeah, definitely. As a matter of fact, I believe in Deuteronomy, it says you are not to follow the majority of the people when it goes against God's laws.
Mm. You know, too many Christians, I believe too many Christians, they get caught up with the person that is predicting the day and the time and all of that the events. We know how the story ends, and we know what events are going to unfold, and they get caught up in trying to predict all of that and not caught up enough trying to be in this recognition and this behavior.
So true. So true. People get caught up in trying to decide when things are going to happen or who the Antichrist might be. But to me, we need to profile what the behavior is so we won't be deceived.
Mm. So what does the Bible say about the tactics and the motivations and the things that are going to give us some clues to that profiling?
Well, the most important thing is Ecclesiastes 1:9, where the Bible says basically there's nothing new under the sun. That which has happened is that which will happen again. And when we study the book of Esther with Haman, who was a type of Antichrist, his whole goal was annihilation, but they had to create a law to allow genocide. And then when we study Hanukkah, that's all about assimilation. Those are two sides of the Antichrist, annihilation and then comes assimilation. But history always repeats itself. So Hitler was a type of Antichrist or a type of Haman wanting to annihilate the Jews. And then what follows is assimilation. We're now like Chrislam, it's a merging of religions. We all need to coexist.
So the Antichrist, some say he'll be a Jew, some say he'll be Muslim, some say he'll be an atheist or a professing Christian. Does the Bible give us any insights to that?
Well, I think it's quite fascinating. John says in his epistles that there were many antichrists in his day. So first thing we need to understand is it's not just a person, it's a whole system and many people. But then the most startling thing is he says they came out from among us. We know that Satan comes as an angel of light. So I believe there's a good chance the Christian or the antichrist could come across as a professing Christian.
Wow. You know, one of the things I loved about your book and I found fascinating was the Antichrist working through this thing that we love so much, technology, and working in and through that. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, I find it fascinating. It's all about manipulation and control. And when I look at China and what they're doing through social media, this new 5G network that allows self-autonomous drones to fire missiles with facial recognition, you know, on their own. And we look at all the way we're being tracked through our phones. To me, this isn't you know, some craziness. We have on our website a link or a page that links to all the artificial intelligence that's going on now with all their capability of how we can be surveilled.
And that website
El Shaddai Ministries.
Yeah.
El Shaddai Ministries, or just Google my name, Mark Belts, and El Shaddai Ministries will come up. But I can back everything up.
And you back it up on the website. You back it up. You talk about backing that up throughout the book. That's why this is such an important book for us to have. It's an important book that we have. We give to our children and anybody that has an understanding of how the story ends, that we want to help them be in a kind of recognition of how the Antichrist or the system of the Antichrist is going to work.
Yeah, most assuredly, because like the Ring door camera that where you can look and see who's at your door. But now they have whole neighborhoods that are watching anyone who comes through the neighborhood, which could be a good thing. But if it gets hacked, then anybody can know when you come home, when you leave with a Fitbit watch. They know what time you go to bed. Things are being hacked, and if not hacked, they're just being given away to the government. Like your DNA at these DNA websites, they're giving access to the police for all of your DNA.
Mm. The name of the books, folks, the book is The name of the book is Decoding the Antichrist and the End Times. Decoding the Antichrist and the End Times. And, you know, it's that decoding that, believe it or not, if we know what we are viewing, what we are looking for, what are some of the symptoms of the disease, so to speak, you know, we can get a better idea of how it is going to destroy as a, you know, a soldier, as a veteran. You know, knowing the enemy certainly is a big part of trying to predict its movements, certainly. So we always should know what is around us. And, you know, God has used technology for some wonderful, wonderful things. I mean, we are seeing the gospel of Jesus Christ reaching people around the globe that they'd never reach without technology. But it's also going to be the instrument, possibly, likely, of the Antichrist.
Oh, most definitely. Everything has two sides to it, and technology definitely does.
Mark, you know, it was obvious to me, Pastor, as I went through the book, that, you know, you spent a lot of time researching and backing all this up, and I felt I'm glad that you didn't force going somewhere of it's going to be, you know, March 5th, 2022, right, that, you know, the Antichrist is going to reveal himself or the system, because that's not really biblical, is it?
No, it's not right at all. I don't think we should ever be setting dates, but I do believe we're supposed to know the times and the seasons, and we need to understand what's going on around us so we can properly react.
Are we in a season that we need to be concerned about?
I definitely believe we're in the times and the seasons where we can easily be deceived, which is why we need to be watching. The Bible says that we're to be watching and on guard. But for me, it's not just it's about the people I love. And it's about the body of the Messiah. I believe much of the body of Messiah, as we see what's going on in the church, are being deceived. And we need to wake up. Many people don't even talk about the book of Revelation.
It is so true, Pastor. It's one of my biggest frustrations that I talk about. You know, so much has to be done. So much work has to be done from the pulpit that isn't getting done either. And, you know, folks, we need to get this book, Decoding the Antichrist. You can go to decodingtheantichrist.com. You can go to El Shaddai Ministries. You can look up or Google Pastor Mark Biltz, B-I-L-T-Z, and get to the website. You can go to Amazon. You can buy this book, I guess, through anywhere, right, Mark?
Yes.
Anywhere. So I hope that you will pick up a copy. I was privileged to get a copy, and electronic copy that I didn't have to pay for. So, but, you know, it is well worth it. And you need to buy, I'm telling you, you're going to be sorry you didn't buy at least two, so that you can keep one and give one away and have that person give it away as well. DecodingTheAntichrist.com. Pastor Mark Biltz, El Shaddai Ministries. Pastor Mark, we sure appreciate you. I'd love to have you back again. Folks, it really is a great book. And, you know, look, first of all, I wish this weren't true, but I read a lot. I don't read books. It's terrible. I read the Bible. I told you yesterday that I'm 3/4 of the way through Wealth of Nations, which I've read probably 9 or 10 times over the last 30 years, maybe more than that. It's not a book. It's volumes of books. Adam Smith, one of the greatest economists ever, in my opinion, laid down his viewpoints in 1776. Oh, man, if we were to only pay attention to this. But so I go through that every, I don't know, 5, 6, 8 years, whatever. Not like I would read the Bible every day, but I'm doing that. But I'm not, you know, I read so much that are short snippets of economic environments and articles and things like that, that sometimes the last thing I want to do is read. But there are certain books like this book that just grabbed me. And again, so here's what happened. I heard about this. I was asked about it. And the guy that asked me, hey, you ought to have this guy, said, can you send me a couple, you know, paragraphs? You don't have to send me the whole book. I don't even care what paragraph or what chapters, not paragraphs. Can you send me a couple chapters? And he sent me the whole book electronically. So I read randomly, I don't even remember what chapters they were, I read two chapters. So I read one towards the front, read one towards the back, and I was like, I got to read this. I started over and read the whole thing again, and my wife's reading it now, but it is a pretty neat book. And, you know, we need to be, I love the notion of how much better, I don't know, can we get any better prepared than to understand and know the saving grace of Jesus? Probably not any more prepared than that. But it helps us, it can help us be in recognition of what is to come and what it might look like and help us to stay on the path. You know, every day I pray, Lord, don't let me step off onto my own path. Don't let me be deceived that the path I'm on is yours when it's really my own, when it's really of the flesh. And I pray that every day. And we are, and I loved in the book as it goes through what we forget sometimes. We are being deceived around every corner. Not only are we being deceived, we're embracing the deception as if it is truth. And it is, we need to understand that. We need to understand. So El Shaddai Ministries, you may know, and Pastor Mark Belts was the founder of that ministry, and pastor and runs that ministry, and he wrote this book, Decoding the Antichrist. And decoding is the right word. And you heard some of the examples of what John talked about in Revelation about the Antichrist. And all through Scripture and Deuteronomy, we see examples in Esther of the Antichrist. And as we get examples, we start to understand the behavior. And when you understand the behavior, you begin to understand what it looks like. It is why I'm a behavioral economist. The greatest thing anybody ever told me was years and years ago, a man that I went to work for as a bond trader said, if you want to do anything, kid, study behavioral economics because it's a dying art. But the beauty of that, it spills into so many other areas of life, even as I read the scripture. When we understand behavioral sciences and the behavior in certain aspects of what we do, in my case, economics, you know, I remember once telling the senior VP of DuPont about 15 or 20 years ago, saying that I would stake my life that I can predict what your stock is going to do under certain conditions way better than your CFO or anybody else in your organization. You know, he laughed, but I think he was concerned that I was probably right, because certain patterns of behavior just don't change. And that is true in economics, and I think it's true in so much of life. All right. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Brian. Brian's calling us from Arkansas. Or no, from Iowa. Hey, Brian. Brian?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, gotcha.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Okay.
I got a question about here in Iowa, we have the state retirement program called IPERS. For county and city and state employees.
Yes.
My question is, I'm 47 years old. I'm looking to change career fields, moving to a different city. I have roughly $150,000 in my IPERS. Now, I'm just thinking out loud in the flesh here.
Yes.
We've got about, with our house and other debt, we've got roughly $70,000 in debt. Okay. If I was to take my IPERS out, I was told that I would roughly receive about $115,000. With the sale of our house, we're expecting to pocket between $30,000 and $40,000. So, big picture here, what I'm looking to do is to alleviate all my debt, pay for the new house with cash, and then also I want to throw in there, we've got about 6 more years of inheritance which is probably going to end up totaling by the end about $210,000. And I guess my question, main question to you is, what do you think? I know I'm going to take a big hit with the taxes, taking that IPRS out if I do that, but just given what I told you, what do you, what's your feeling?
So you are going to take a hit with taxes and penalties, a 10% penalty, but here's what I would say to you to do. Try to do a little analytics in this sense. So you're 47, you're in that very kind of, difficult place in the sense that what I think about and care about most of all is how far are you away from running out of time to be in the accumulation phase of your life. In other words, how many more years are you going to be getting a salary? How many more years are you going to be able to?
I guess retirement's not an option. I mean, I'm going to want to finish strong.
Right, right. Good. So I get concerned when somebody takes what they've worked for during those accumulation years. You accumulated this $150,000. I don't suspect it's going to take you, 25 years or whatever it took you to get this 150. I don't suspect it's going to take you that long to get the next 150. But I do think about adding that 150 to this 150, and what you might have. But the inheritance that you're receiving changes the picture a little bit. If you're fairly diligent, if you're very diligent and disciplined about saving that and protecting that inheritance and keeping that, well invested. The other side of it is I always hesitate. I'm not saying this of you. I don't know you, so you can't take it personally by any means. But I always worry about one's discipline. And sometimes, I know this sounds crazy, sometimes getting out of debt is the kiss of death, because people all the time will get out of debt using up some money that they've had previously that they've saved, and the getting out of debt is a license to get into debt. You know what I mean? You have this false sense of security. So I'm just going to assume that you're a disciplined person, you're aware of all those things I've right. just said, and you're going to continue to, work through this in a proper way. I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem paying the tax. It kills me to pay that 10% penalty. That drives me nuts. But all that aside, I think you'd be okay, because you should be dramatically increasing your ability to save by not having a mortgage, primarily, or any other debt for that matter, if you can buy this next house cash. So all I would ask of you, I would be okay doing it. I think it would be fine. I would suspect that the inheritance is relatively secure, and that's going to keep coming. You would be just super diligent and remember that I'm with you. I'm going to work until I drop. But in the meantime, I could, have a debilitating something tomorrow and have to retire and have to have some money, So I'm not real big on dwelling on that or thinking about that, but we've got to think about those kinds of things too. So I'm okay with it. I'm okay with your scenario as you laid it out. I would just make sure that you're okay with, you guys are okay with being, very disciplined with the opportunity that you are creating in yourself here to really generate some really good savings because of this, strategy that you're doing, and you're disciplined to do it.
Yeah, and I guess I just one real quick thing is I've kind of set myself up for success in the context of, lots of life insurance and then disability insurance and things like that in case something would happen.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's good. Well, keep doing that. I got to run here. I'm up against this break. But I hope that's helped you, Brian. I'm glad you called.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. It's great to be here. We're going to get right back to phones. I'm going to go to Harry. Harry's calling us from Texas. Hi, Harry.
Hello. How are you doing, Dan?
I'm doing okay. Thank you.
My question to you was, I used to be able to do my own portfolio and do my own stock trading and all that. Well, I had one of those, what you were just talking to the last caller, I had one of those disability deal where I couldn't work anymore, and I don't have an income anymore. So I wasn't able to keep up with my finances, so I turned it over to a company called Raymond James.
Yes.
But it's important to me that I didn't know and I never really paid that much attention. Are they biblically responsible?
So Raymond James in and of itself, I don't know. But what matters to you is that your investments are biblically responsible. Now, one of the issues is if you ask them to be biblically responsible, they will probably discourage you from that, or they will put you in things that are socially conscious, which is far cry from biblically responsible. So that would be a concern of mine, because what you care about is that your money, your investments, are honoring God. And so you want to make sure that you're not supporting all those things that we don't want to support and we don't want to grieve the heart of God. Now, I can't speak for the person that you're dealing with and their willingness to help you in that regards to be biblically responsible. So that's a whole nother issue. Yep.
My other problem is that their fees is so expensive. I'm really not gaining.
So what do you have, an IRA, Harry?
Well, actually, I got two IRAs. I got a beneficiary IRA, and then I got a cash with just a mutual fund.
Okay.
I mean, I was able, before I lost my sight, I was my wife is legally blind, too, so we're both in the same boat. So I had to take a disability retirement, and so I have an income coming in as far as that. But, you know, I was trying to grow my money so that I could have an income-type cash to fall back on if we needed it.
Yeah.
I'm 51 years old. I think that's relatively young. So
yes.
I'm worried about outliving my money, what I'm worried about.
Yeah, yeah, I don't blame you. Yeah, I would want you to really consolidate your money. I would like it if you could develop a good income portfolio. I would say this to you, Harry. I'm gonna put you on hold. Darlene's gonna give you the name of a financial person that
okay.
I would feel comfortable saying that they're gonna do the right thing by you with your monies.
And, well, that would be a blessing, Dan.
And that's the only thing I can really say. I don't want to, I don't talk about it over the air. I just tell people that really need or want to have somebody that this would be a person. And they charge a fee, too, a little bit lower than what you're paying. But it's okay because their fee, I know, is going to be a lot lower than what it's going to earn, you know, in income and help you out. So, I think that might be a good option for you.
Well, That's where I'm at. You know, I mean, when you're in this position and you have to depend on other people, it's a matter of trust.
It is.
And I just don't. It's hard for me to do that because I've always been in control of my finances. You know.
Yep. And that's exactly what, you know, I'm thinking. And you're so right. When you're in your situation, man, you've got to be able to sleep at night knowing that you can trust the people that you're working with. So I'm going to put you on hold. Darlene's going to get on and give you that information.
Well, Dan, thank you so much and bless you, man. I really appreciate it. I just didn't know where else to turn. I normally don't like to talk on the radio about this stuff either.
Yeah, I'm sure. But you know what, Harry, I'm really glad you called. I'm really glad you called because I feel real confident that you're gonna get with someone that is gonna help you and somebody more importantly that you can trust and somebody I feel good about that I know you're gonna be biblically responsible. God's gonna honor your heart and your convictions for that. So I appreciate it and I'm glad you called, brother. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. I wish you all the best. Hang on. 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Cindy. Cindy's calling from Florida. Hey, Cindy.
Hey, Dan. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
Listening to you, I try to make sure I will listen as many times as I can throughout the week and just excited about learning. And I'm moving on. As I wait for your to be announced to do what's next,
okay.
I'm moving on to my, which, by the way, do you have a timeline on that?
No, it keeps getting moved on me, so I hesitate to even say, but I'm hoping sooner, like, you know, I was hoping for early March. Now I'm hoping for the end of March, so.
Okay. Well, that gives me a little bit. All right, thank you. So I'm looking at my son's UTMA that I set up when he was born, and he's now 14 and a half. And I had originally thought I probably wouldn't tell him anything about it until his mid-20s because I don't have to. But he's a great kid, and he's really responsible. And I want to teach him while he's young. He doesn't spend a lot of money, so the money that he does make, he's a good saver. But I want to teach him while he's young. And we were talking over the weekend about the whole, the original story of the goose that lays the golden eggs. And so that's kind of where we started. And I informed him that I had started this for him, something I wish maybe my parents had done for me. And so we started talking about stocks, just very, very generic and basic. And I would like to get... We went through your buy list and talked about how being biblically responsible and, you know, talked about some of the stocks that you got on your list and shared what it means, what a stock means, and all those very generic 101 type lessons. So what is your opinion as far as if he maybe separated it into two? We have about $2,500 to work with.
Okay.
And I really like for him to be able to be involved with putting this in, watching it grow, see how it goes up, see how it goes down, maybe have two or three that he compares them to. He likes the ConocoPhillips, but before we pull any triggers, I just wanted to get your opinion about how to enter into the market for a young man to get a good start. When
you
told him what McDonald's, you know, started out when their initial public offering and what would have resulted in, he's like, oh my gosh. You know?
Yeah, it is. It's great that he has an interest and wants to do that. I think that the biggest lesson he can learn is to be diversified. That's number one.
Okay.
Because mm-hmm. when you're diversified early on, you get to watch different things under the exact same economic condition. So, you know, market's going down, but I wonder why this stock's going up, you know, and these two are down, this one's up, and this one that's up is kind of lifting up my whole portfolio. That's the idea of diversification. So I wouldn't, you know, I would look at right now, I would look at some sectors that are industrial materials and technology. Now, I would be okay with throwing the energy in there as well, but I think that those three would be my top three as we move forward over the next several years. The technology part of that might likely be the most volatile. So that's the one that is going to go down the most. I would try to stay within mid-cap on the technology stocks. So I wouldn't look at the small cap and I wouldn't look at the, you know, micro caps. I try to stay in the mid-cap form because it's going to be less volatile on the downside. And so, you know, I would look at just buying, you know, you don't have to buy a lot. I mean, obviously that $4.95, if you buy five shares, you're adding a dollar to each share when you buy it. But so if you can take that dollar to 50 cents and buy 10, that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. If you take it to 70, if you can take that 50 cents down to 25 cents, you know, so on and so forth. I mean, that's always a good thing. But I would look at, you know, small positions in three, possibly four sectors. Don't worry about how many shares you get. Put even amount of money in all of those, you know, whatever it might be. And I think that would be a great place to start. And stick with the buy list. Okay. Stick with the buy list.
Yeah,
don't waver from that.
Very good.
All right.
Perfect. Yeah, perfect. That sounds great.
Thank you, Cindy. That's exciting. I'm glad he's doing that. That's good stuff.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Have a blessed day. Thank you. 844-707-5533. Hey, stay tuned. We got a great, we got Kelly Shackelford with some important information. If you've got to leave us, have a wonderful day. God bless. More fun.